Hello and welcome back to the Cool Your Jets podcast. I am Michael Nania. It is February 4th, 2026, 2:46 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as I record this. And the New York Jets have three coordinators under contract for the 2026 NFL season. How about that? They already had a special teams coordinator in Chris Banjo, who did an amazing job this year, but now they have an offensive and defensive coordinator. Bravo to Aaron Glenn and the Jets for getting that done after a tumultuous past month, to say the least. But we talked about Brian Duker last week, defensive coordinator hired by the Jets, and just this morning, the Jets settled on an offensive coordinator. Frank Reich will be leading the New York Jets offense this season. Now, let's break it down. Let's react to it. I'm just going to try to put out the most accurate synopsis of how I'm feeling about it at this moment. So in the future, however this pans out, if it is amazing and Frank Reich leads the Jets to multiple championships, or if he gets fired midseason for the third consecutive season in the NFL, however it pans out, I'm going to give you my raw thoughts right now. So I could look back on it and be like, that's how I thought about this hiring. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to be super negative. Just going to tell you pragmatically, how do I feel about it right now? I guess that's the best they could do with the three coordinates that were out there. Like I've talked about on this podcast and in my tweets and my articles and whatnot, I was not a fan of firing Tanner Engstrand, especially when this is the list of potential replacements that you ended up with. Frank Reich, Greg Roman, Daryl Bevel. Essentially, those were your three finalists. They were the three to get a second interview. You also had Ronald Curry in there and Lunda Wells, two position coaches who have not been an OC or a head coach in the league before. These were your three finalists, three guys who have extensive experience in the league as play callers on offense, but none of them have been particularly great recently. The 2020s have not treated them kindly. So, you know, common theme among all three, extensive experience. We're talking at least 10 seasons as either a head coach or an OC for all three of them. So experienced, but, you know, there's a reason all of them are available. There's a reason that no one else in the league interviewed any of them for offensive coordinator or head coach this offseason. And that's that they haven't done much recently. You know, we always talk about the NFL being a what have you done for me lately type of league, which makes sense. You know, that's a saying that gets thrown around a lot because of the lack of patience from owners, fans, whatever. But I think it's justified because in the NFL, trends change really quickly, I think, compared to other sports. You know, the schemes that work, the schemes that don't work, the strategies that work, it changes so rapidly. You know, even 5 years ago, the league was a completely different game. 10 years ago, we're talking about a whole different sport. 15 years ago, that was black and white television, essentially. So I think it is fair to place a strong emphasis on the last year, let's say 3 years. The last 3 year body of work, I think, is pretty fair to evaluate. You know, how does this coach or this player, whoever we're talking about, what have they done for me lately? How have they performed in this version of the NFL and where it's headed in the near future? You know, I think there is something to be said for accomplishments that happened, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, not having a lot of weight in terms of projecting what's going to happen next season and in the near future. So all of that is to say that, yes, we have three experienced candidates here versus Tanner Engstrand, who has accomplished essentially nothing as an offensive coordinator. But most of the success for these three guys was a long time ago, and it's been ugly for them in recent years and at their recent stops as coordinators. So I was not going to stand up and clap and applaud and, you know, build statues for whoever the Jets chose out of these three candidates. But as I, you know, thought through it, sifted through it, I think Reich was their best option. And there's a few reasons for that. First of all, I think Greg Roman was going to be at the bottom of that list. And that's while acknowledging that I think Roman would have offered the highest floor. He's been pretty consistent at leading above average offenses, but it's really cut and dry at this point over four different teams with Greg Roman that he knows how to scheme a run game, but pass game, it's not there. And with two elite quarterbacks at his last two stops with Baltimore, Lamar Jackson, and Justin Herbert with the Chargers, both of those guys underperformed under him relative to their standards. So Greg Roman was not going to raise the ceiling for this team, especially without, you know, we just talked about Lamar Jackson and Justin Herbert. Jets are not going to have anyone close to that this year. So if he underperformed and was unpopular in those spots, I don't think it was going to work out well here. We'll see if they bring him on as a run game coordinator or something. As of me recording this, nothing has happened yet, but we'll see if that's in the cards. But I did not like the idea of Roman because of the clear-cut ceiling that's been established with him. Daryl Bevel, the issue with him is that even in comparison to Reich and Roman, it's been a long time since we've seen anything from him. At least with Reich and Roman, you know, you could go to 2021 for Reich. And again, I think that's too far back. That's 4 years ago, or going on 5 years. But with Bevel, to find his last successful season, you got to go back to 2015 with the Seahawks. He had a couple of average years after that, but that got him fired in Seattle. Then in Detroit, he struggled for a couple years. Jacksonville, 1 year was terrible. And he was an assistant in Miami the last 4 years. A key assistant as the quarterback's coach and pass game coordinator for a Dolphins offense that had some high peaks. But for a guy who has not led a strong offense, let's say, since 2015, that was unappealing. So at least with Frank Reich, there's a pretty decent track record of him leading offenses that have at least been average to above average. There isn't a lot in there that's particularly outstanding. Obviously, you have the Super Bowl year with the Eagles, but he was not calling plays that year. But you give him credit for that, obviously. And he had some solid years with the Colts when they had Andrew Luck in his first season. And then after that, a couple years with the 1 year with Philip Rivers in 2020. So there's some there for Frank Reich relatively recently. And, you know, he's a quarterback as well. You know, with Roman, it's concerning that he's very run game centric, that he has a capped ceiling in the passing game. But at least Reich is a former quarterback. He came up with the Colts as an assistant coach in the Peyton Manning era. He worked with Philip Rivers as an offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach. Worked with Doug Peterson, who is an Andy Reid disciple. So his entire background is quarterback, passing game centric. That's positive, especially relative to the other candidates. So all of that is to say, I think Reich was the best you could do out of what they were left with. That's fair enough. But it still doesn't mean I have a lot of optimism about how it's going to work out, or that moving on from Engstrand is going to prove to be an effective move. I mean, we just saw Mike LaFleur get hired by the Cardinals head coach. It feels very reminiscent of that decision. You know, Mike LaFleur had 2 years as a young offensive coordinator with the Jets, promoted to the role after being a pass game coordinator for the 49ers. 2 years with the Jets, you know, in his mid-30s there, working with Zach Wilson, a rookie quarterback who obviously was struggling. And he gets canned from that, you know, due to the lack of production over those 2 years, even though you could see on film, like, you know, people are open and Zach Wilson just wasn't hitting him. Catches on with the Rams 3 years as a, you know, clipboard holding offensive coordinator for Sean McVay. And now he's a head coach. We'll see what happens in Arizona. Interestingly enough, this news just dropped before I started recording this, but Nathaniel Hackett will be the offensive coordinator for the Cardinals under Mike LaFleur. That is an interesting one. So we got two Jets legends there, you know, an offensive coordinator who everyone can agree was not very good, and one who showed some potential and is now going to get a chance to flex those muscles in the head coaching position. So we'll see how Mike LaFleur does. But the Tanner Engstrand parting of ways, you know, officially not a firing, but for all intents and purposes, they fired him because they were planning to revoke his play calling duties. And then he said, you know, screw you, I don't want to do that. So it's essentially a firing, but it feels similar. You know, young offensive coordinator He was a passing game coordinator with one of the best offenses in the league. For Engstrand, it was Detroit. For LaFleur, it was San Francisco. Comes over, first-year coordinator, and the offense is bad overall. But, you know, to anyone who watched it, it felt a lot more like it was because of the talent and the lack of execution than any sort of play-calling issue. And that's not to say he was perfect or anything. You know, one issue that actually Breece Hall retweeted something about this earlier, but Breece Hall got a career low for target share this season in the passing game. That's something, speaking of Hackett, that we complained about during his tenure, the fact that Hackett's, you know, what was it, the Browns game or late in the season where he was like, you know, I didn't realize until midway through the year how good Breece was in the passing game, even though we all saw that in his rookie year and on his film. So we complained about that with Hackett, and that's one thing with Engstrand. I'm not sure why Breece was so underutilized in the passing game this year, especially because it was his most efficient season as a receiver. Career high, 7.3 yards per target, 54% success rate as a receiver. Those are tremendous numbers for a running back, but only got 48 targets in 16 games. That's 3 targets per game. So that's an example of something Engstrand didn't do well. Some of the short yardage calls, fourth down calls were questionable. You know, you think to that play in Baltimore when they were in a close game, went for the fourth and short, called that pass out to John Mechie that looked messy and just was not open. So there were things like that, but so many times, the overarching theme throughout the season was the Jets quarterbacks are bad and the Jets receivers are bad. I mean, speaking of Mechie, he dropped multiple wide open potential touchdowns near the goal line. You know, Justin Fields speaks for himself. The issues that he had seeing open receivers. Tyrod Taylor was really bad when he played. Especially you look at the Panthers game. We talked about all this with Engstrand. We don't have to go down that whole rabbit hole, but it feels similar to the Michael LaFleur situation, and now he's a head coach, and we'll see how LaFleur does in that role. But just the fact that he got to that point shows that he is a respected coach, you know, viewed as a quality coach around the league, and the Jets had him, but they let him go because of, you know, pinning the struggles of the players on the coach. It's important to make that distinction when you're evaluating coaches. You know, you can look at the final results, the DVOA, the yards, points, whatever, but you got to consider what they're working with. And in fairness to Frank Reich, you know, to get back to the guy that we're supposed to be talking about here, but I like to go on long tangents. That's what I do because I talk to myself in this podcast. But back to Frank Reich. You know, in fairness to him, he's dealt with some rough quarterback situations as well. He had 5 years with the Colts as their head coach. He had a different starter every single year. And, you know, he went there expecting to coach Andrew Luck, and Luck has a great first year. One of the best of his career, a resurgent season after he was injured the previous year. Surprisingly retires, and then Reich has to go through Jacoby Brissett, Carson Wentz, Brissett to Rivers, then to Carson Wentz, then to Matt Ryan. So a different quarterback every year. You're talking about, you know, two really old guys. Actually, it was the last season of those two quarterbacks' careers, or at least it was the last season of Rivers' career until this year. Jacoby Brissett, obviously journeyman backup, and Carson Wentz, who at that point was, you know, still young enough to have some potential, but has dealt with a lot of injuries and at this point is pretty firmly established as, you know, a mid-level NFL quarterback. So, you know, in fairness to Reich, he hasn't had the greatest situation. And then goes to Carolina, Bryce Young. You know, did Reich want him? Did he not want him? That's debatable. There was a lot of conversation about the motivation behind that trade in Carolina. Was ownership involved and all of that? So, you know, did he want Bryce Young? Is Bryce Young actually good? Because 3 years later, you know, Bryce Young still isn't a great quarterback. He's, you know, he's trended towards being average, I guess. Or, you know, not overall. He's still below average, but he looks average sometimes. But so yeah, you can make that excuse for Reich that he's dealt with some shaky talent at quarterback, some instability, but at the same time, like we talked about, you want to see the results in recent years. And for Frank Reich, a guy who was not in the NFL the past two seasons, 2024, he was out of football. Last year, coached Stanford, 4-8 record. Although, to be fair, the 4-8 record by Stanford's standards and expectations was not bad. So last 2 years out of the NFL, and then the previous 2 years in the NFL, fired in season. At this point, you got to go back to 2021 to see any sort of success. And even that, a 9-8 season for the Colts, Carson Wentz a quarterback, and, they're decent offensively, but kind of crumbled down the stretch. So, I just don't see enough proven with Reich for me to believe in him at this stage of his career. It would be different if he was 45, 50 years old, a young up-and-coming coach, but we're talking about a guy who's 64 years old, at this point has been either an offensive coordinator or a head coach in 10 seasons, and in none of those seasons did he have a top five offense in terms of DVOA. Even that Eagles season 2017 wasn't top five. And give him credit for that season. They won the Super Bowl. They were great in the playoffs with their backup quarterback in there. So who cares about the numbers for 2017? Great year. But outside of that, we haven't really seen very high peaks. They were pretty good with Luck in 2018, pretty good 2020 with Rivers. But the Chargers offenses when he was the offensive coordinator, kind of underwhelming by Philip Rivers standards. And then the Colts, whenever he didn't have Andrew Luck outside of that, it wasn't the greatest. And that's what's concerning because he's coming to the New York Jets. He's not coming to coach the Kansas City Chiefs, the Baltimore Ravens, the Buffalo Bills. It's the New York Jets. There isn't an Andrew Luck waiting for him here. There isn't, like some of these other coordinators or head coaches going to new spots around the league. You're not inheriting, like Mike McDaniel with the Chargers, Justin Herbert, something like that. This team doesn't even have a quarterback right now, and we'll see who it ends up being. There are avenues for them to upgrade over what they had last year, whether that's Kyler Murray, Malik Willis, Mac Jones, first-round draft pick Ty Simpson. We'll see what they do. There's a lot of avenues for them to potentially have at least competent quarterback play, maybe average, maybe even good. We'll see where they end up going, but it's not as if, there's a superstar here. There's going to be the same question of can he do enough to scheme a good offense without a superstar quarterback? So if you're going to excuse his resume and his lack of production in Carolina, in his last year with the Colts when they had Matt Ryan, or when they had Wentz, when they had Brissett, all these years, if you're going to write them off because he didn't have a great quarterback, that's going to be the situation here as well. Whether it's any of those guys I just mentioned, Mac Jones, Malik Willis, Kyler Murray, any of these guys are flawed. And if the Jets have a bad year, you could look back and chalk it up the same as some of these other seasons on Reich's resume and say, oh, they didn't have a quarterback, so how can you blame them? And that's fair, because at the end of the day, a coach, I don't want to say they can only go as far as the quarterback takes them, because Sam Darnold's in the Super Bowl right now, and the Jets toss him aside, as did two other teams. So I don't want to say a coach can only go as far as the quarterback takes them, because we've seen some great examples recently of coaches taking quarterbacks a lot further than a lot of people previously thought they could go. But it's obviously important to have talent, and it's going to have a major impact on your success and your ceiling. So it's fair when evaluating Reich to apply that context. But at the same time, he's had a large sample of opportunities to prove himself as a play caller. And, outside of the one season in Philly where he was not even calling the plays that year. Outside of that, we just haven't seen a super high ceiling. I went through his track record of DVOA finishes offensively throughout his play calling career. And again, he's had 10 seasons as either a head coach or an offensive coordinator. And here are his rankings. So we'll go backwards here from the most recent season to his first season as an OC with the Chargers. That was in 2014. So starting in 2023 with the Panthers, 31st, then 32nd with the Colts in 2022, 12th, 10th, 18th, 7th. Those were his first 4 years with the Colts. In Philly, 9th and 23rd, and then with the Chargers, 9th and 19th. So it's really not that bad. It's really not, admittedly. on average, that's 13th. And, you know, before the last couple seasons, the floor was pretty high. He was generally middle of the pack. But, you know, the two issues I have with this resume are, first and foremost, the two most recent seasons were abysmal. And I know he didn't have great quarterbacks, but, you know, Bryce Young was historically bad for a rookie quarterback. And, you know, again, he's still not great at this point, but the level of ineptitude from him and that Panthers offense as a whole during Reich's tenure was, you know, a sight to behold. And then the previous year with Matt Ryan, and when he was with the Colts, again, Matt Ryan was decrepit at that point. So cut him a little bit of slack, but we're not asking for much. We're just asking for better than, you know, worst in the league. So, you know, that's my first problem. The two most recent seasons were bottom of the barrel. And then across this sample here, we have 10 seasons. He wasn't able to get higher than 7th. So we haven't seen a top 5 offense from him. And I know what you're thinking. We're talking about the Jets here. We would love to be 23rd, 19th, 15th, whatever. But we're talking about a guy who's 64 years old, and these are, you know, the strength of his resume. The strength of his resume is a long time ago. So it would be nice if, you know, if we're going to value a resume based on seasons that are far in the past at this point, it would be nice if the peaks were higher than, you know, 7th place being his absolute best finish in offensive DVOA. Because, you know, again, the two most recent seasons, he was 32nd and 31st. So, you know, I don't know. It's, I think Reich is the best they could have done out of these three, and we'll see how they fill out the staff. I would hope that they get some, you know, strong assistants, you know, a run game coordinator who has a track record of success in that role, whether it's Roman or someone else, a quarterback's coach who you can trust as, you know, the closest person to developing whatever young quarterback ever eventually comes into this building. And, you know, so we'll see how they fill out the staff. That's the thing. Reich is going to get a lot of say in building his own staff because Glenn cleared out most of the offensive coaching staff, which is, I guess, a good thing from Reich's perspective. But we'll see. I guess that's where I stand on Frank Reich being hired at this moment. I'm not enthused. I'm not optimistic, but it's less about this particular decision amongst the finalists and the candidates and more about just the initial Engstrand decision. Once they made that call, they were not going to find someone that I would have deemed an upgrade because look, you waited until late January to make that decision, which whittles down plenty of candidates who were already hired, interviewed, whatever. And on top of that, just the messiness of the process between, you know, this is the coordinator that Aaron Glenn hired last year, a first-time coach dealing with a bad quarterback situation. He tries to get him to step down from play calling and hire someone to usurp him. And then they end up parting ways. And then Glenn dumps, or this is prior to this, has already dumped a ton of assistant coaches who he also fired last season, showing no loyalty to them after 1 year. It was just an extremely unappealing landing spot. So I just truly do not understand why you would make that. Even if you hated Tanner Engstrand, the job that he did, him as a person after a year of working with him, once you made that decision, you restricted yourself to only the most desperate coaching candidates. Those are the only ones who would take this job. A guy in Frank Reich who, I'm not saying he's desperate, you know, he's an older coach. He's, you know, had his time in the league as a player and a coach. And, you know, there are reports that he's, you know, doing this as a favor for Aaron Glenn, or at least that's what people are saying, just like he did a favor for Stanford and Andrew Luck last year. So, but the only coaches who would take this job at this point, you know, with the Jets opening the vacancy the way that they did and at the point that they did, are candidates who no one else in the league would want. And that's who the Jets ended up interviewing. Three guys who did not have any other interest for this role around the league. So that's what my issue is with the firing of Engstrand, the process that led up to it. This particular decision, I guess, is fine among the candidates that they were left with. But if you ask, if you told me at the beginning of, or when the Buffalo game ended at the end of the season, that the Jets would be swapping out Tanner Engstrand for Frank Reich, and that the entire rest of the offensive staff would also be changed, and none of those roles would be filled by February 4th, you know, this being a week plus after the Senior Bowl at this point, I wouldn't be thrilled with that. I know there's some talk out there like, oh, it's just the process looked messy, but they ultimately ended up with the guys they wanted. And it's just people are caught up on the process, but I'm not impressed with this. I liked what Engstrand did relative to expectations. I liked the hire by Aaron Glenn. I think it's one of the few things that he deserved praise for in his first season, is hiring a first-year offensive coordinator from an innovative, up-and-coming offense out in Detroit that he's familiar with from working with him. And I like the potential that he showed. And, you know, moving forward out of the 2025 season, one of the few things that I had any degree of optimism in was seeing what this offense could grow into under Engstrand and see how he could develop that with a new quarterback. And that's out the window. And now you have a 64-year-old coach who was fired midseason at his last two stops and spent the last 2 years out of the NFL. I'm not impressed with that, personally. I'm not saying Reich is the worst coach in NFL history, but I don't think it was a good process, and I don't think it's a good result either. So I don't subscribe to the notion that it was just a bad process, but at the end of the day, they had a good result. I don't think that's true at all, in my personal opinion. So we'll see how they fill out the staff and everything. I really am not impressed with the process from Aaron Glenn over the past month, the apparent lack of a plan, the, you know, honestly, unprofessionalism of it all. I think it's, you know, frankly absurd to hire an entire staff as a first-year head coach, dump essentially everyone after one season, even the coaches who probably didn't deserve it, and to do it all late in the hiring process and restrict yourself to even fewer options on top of how unappealing you made those roles by approaching the process in this way, showing so little patience. Like, who would want to work for this coach after what you just showed? Yeah, firing all these coaches after one season, it's not a landing spot that a lot of people are going to walk into, unless, like I said, you're talking about the bottom of the barrel and anyone will take these jobs. That's why you have Brian Duker as your defensive coordinator. And maybe he's a great coach, like we talked about last week. But ultimately, the Jets had a list of 8 candidates they interviewed for defensive coordinator. And the guy they hired is a guy who was not only not on that list, but they hired a day after a virtual interview weeks later. So, you know, how much of this is Glenn? You know, there's Woody Johnson talk out there. Did he influence that? I don't know. That's all speculative. But whether it's Woody, whether it's Glenn, I just think this whole past month was a mess, and I am not impressed with the coaching staff moving into 2026, and I'm not optimistic. That is my honest approach. Not saying it can't work. I hope I'm wrong. Yeah, I always hope I'm wrong if I say something negative or pessimistic. I don't want to be right about those things, but I just got to call it how I see it. And I don't find Frank Reich intriguing or appealing in many ways. So we'll see what happens from here, how they fill out the rest of this offensive staff, the defensive staff. There are still a ton of roles to fill on both sides of the ball, and the combine is not far away here. We're in combine month. The Senior Bowl is behind us. I'm Googling the NFL combine start date as I'm speaking. February 22nd is when the combine starts. So we're less than 3 weeks away from the combine, and the Jets, they have their coordinators finally, but they don't have any assistant coaches. So we'll see who fills those roles. And I hope that the Jets have a brilliant plan to make me eat my words from this February 4th, 2026 podcast. But there you have it. As of right now, not impressed with the Jets coaching staff, their process over the last month, or their direction moving forward. And hopefully this ages poorly. Let's check back on it in a year, 2 years, whatever. Have a great rest of your week. Thanks for listening.